Accession number 32386, Mr. Bill Shepherd, Reel 8. Now, so what happened next then? We were in 1940, you're doing this thing. What do you remember next?
Eventually, I was recalled to Catterick and offered a commission to join a division going to Singapore.
Now, how did that happen? Tell me about, I mean...
Well, it was short of forming the signals, you see. I was going to go as a technical maintenance officer to some division.
Now, so you were recalled, were you given an officer's training course at Catterick then?
I was to become a lieutenant, brackets technical maintenance officer, brackets off. Anyway, I rejected the offer of a commission because I wanted to go back to Inverness where I was billeted for my work around the coast.
Now, why did you reject it? That just because of that?
Well, two reasons. I thought the war wouldn't last very long. I'd become redundant. And the second reason was that in Inverness, I had wonderful civilian lodgings with a family called Macaulay.
Well, tell me about the civilian lodgings. Well, why were they so good?
Because Mrs. Macaulay, who was quite an old person and completely deaf, welcomed me as her son and treated me accordingly. And a wonderful thing then, I was looking forward to going back there, but I remember the brigadier in Catterick said I was being pig-headed about this, but I wasn't going back to Inverness. Said, go off and wait and you'll get another posting. And my next posting was Gibraltar. So I didn't know that at the time. I went off in a reconstituted Dutch liner called Narconda.
Called what?
Called the MV Narconda, Narkunda, a Dutch liner.
Now, what was that trip out like on board her?
It had been provisioned in America. It had everything. Whatever you wanted for your breakfast, you could have porridge, cereals, egg and bacon, kippers, whatever you liked. And that took us out to the mid-Atlantic, and then it took us south a bit, and then took us eastward into Gibraltar.
And when did you arrive in Gibraltar, roughly?
I reckon it took about a week from leaving Greenock, was the port we embarked at. What date we arrived in?
It looks like it says 1942.
I arrived. It was still 1940. It was still 1940. I arrived in June.
Right. Okay. So this list here is wrong. Right, okay. Still 1940.
I arrived in Jim when the French were bombing it as a retaliation for us sinking the French fleet in Alexandria. This was the French retaliation, was to bomb Gibraltar.
So what do you remember about that? That was happening when you arrived.
I remember sitting in the bottom of the ship's companionway in full marching order, waiting to get off for the Navy that let all hell loose from Gibraltar Harbour. They had an exercise in the Navy called Exercise Inferno, where they filled a square mile of airspace above Gibraltar with exploding shells. Anyway, I got
what
to
was the bombing like? Did the French bombing do much damage?
No. It was kind of half-hearted bombing anyway, because they were being pelted by their own navy. What happened after that? Well, my predecessor had left me no records. He he went off to Africa to do something in Africa. So I started to make cable records so I could know where the cables were laid, what kind of cables they were. And I was quite busy all round, actually. But there was what I inherited in Gibraltar was a large space being excavated in one of the tunnels in Gibraltar, in which they were going to build a war room which was sort of whispered about as being a war room in aid of a relief convoy to go to Malta. This was a sort of message that was semi-whispered. It was excellent camouflage anyway, because eventually, when the time for exercise torched.
But that's 2 years later.
Yes, I'd been in Gib about 2 years.
Right. So what are you doing in Gib? You arrive and there's an air raid. Now what happens next?
Well, my job as foreman of signals was to see that all the communications worked.
So you recorded all the different types of cable?
Oh, yes.
And then what did you do?
Well, the Canadians were working on Gib at the time. They were taking all the scree off the north side of the rock, and they were extending the runway for aircraft which lay between Spain and Gibraltar. They were extending it outwards into the Bay of Algeciras. What else was there?
So which unit were you with at Gibraltar? What was the name of the unit?
Gibraltar Command Signal Company.
And what's your... give us a review of all your different duties with them.
I beg your pardon?
Give us a review of all the different duties you had. What were your duties with them?
My duties were to keep the communications working.
So what does that entail?
Well, that entailed a lot of quite new work to me. The Canadians, you see, they were a quarrying company which were extending the runway, and there was a drilling company which was drilling holes from the surface of the rock down into the caves underneath. And my job was to get the communications down these holes that were boring to get communications from the surface into the caves underneath where the gun's operation room was kept, which gave calculations for the shells and so on.
And how did you do that? What do you remember about that?
Well, the gun operations room was manned by Royal Marines of the Royal Navy. Each Marine sat at a bench with a pair of headphones on, and he got his instructions from somebody in the open air up above. We'd be reading down the humidity, the targets, angle from the gun, and all that sort of thing. Difficult to describe it. You've got to see it that the OPs, you see, of a base of maybe half a mile, and they take bearings on the target out there, you see. Now, using their bearings, you can calculate the distance of the gun from the gun. And this is what they were doing, you see. And of course, they had down below it, they had a plotting table, a large square map of the Straits of Gibraltar, which everything that was floating in the streets was marked by a small finger. Yeah. That was all manned by girls, by the way. It was just referred to as a plotting table. and that kind of plot carrying aircraft as well as sea, and was a large scale map of the Straits of Gibraltar and the rock itself.
Now, did you have any trouble maintaining the communications for the underground gun operations room and the plotting room?
Yes, we had.
What sort of problems?
Well, it was, of course, Jim was having quite a busy time with the Italian Navy, had their one-man submarines operating in the Bay of Algeciras, and Commander Crabb was in Jim at the time. He was having a private war with the Italian Navy, and the main information cable giving instructions from the war room at Operation Torch was in a cable which ran across the Bay of Algeciras, round into the Straits of Gibraltar, and came ashore again on the eastern side of the rock.
Now, hang on, that's 1942 again. So, did nothing much happen in Gibraltar then, in those 2 years?
Well, all sorts of things happened. Ships came in with their noses blown off and their cargo hanging outside. The dockyard was fitting ships with concrete bows and all kinds of things. The dockyard was very busy.
What were you busy doing there? That's what I mean.
What, me? I was maintaining the communications.
But you were busy, but it was a routine kind of thing.
Oh, yes.
So what would a routine be?
Was the routine was maintaining a fortress, including a localised broadcasting service, where the news was, every house and building had a loudspeaker, and the news was transmitted daily through these loudspeakers all over the rock. And had to maintain all these wires. It wasn't a very difficult job. I had a good crew of linesmen.
Now, was there much bombing of Gibraltar? I mean, you mentioned the French bombing. What about German or Italian bombing?
There was no Italian bombing. The Italians were trusting in their one-man torpedoes.
What about the Germans? Any German bombing?
No, we had no German bombing.
Well, where were you living in Gibraltar?
In Gibraltar, I was living in what had been the married quarters in peacetime.
What was it like?
Oh, quite good. An old Spanish woman looked after the place. Incidentally, there were no families left in Gibraltar during the war. They were all taken away, and the sort of domestic labour on the rock all came from Spain every day. They came in about 8 o'clock in the morning and left at 8 o'clock at night.
How did you get on with the Spanish civilian workers?
Very well. They all had relations who had been in Gibraltar anyway.
So what happens next then?
Preparation, of course, were being going on ahead, buildings at this war room, that is, this large excavation, maybe 12 foot high, and maybe 24 foot wide, inside one of the tunnels, was being fitted with a big wall map, which was painted on the linoleum from Kirkcaldy.
Now, this is the plotting room, is it? What is this?
This was the war room. Opposite this big map on the wall was a balcony where the commander sat, and could see the situation at a glance, was kept up to date by girls pushing things on
this is the plotting room.
And this, still we all believed that this was to be an attempt to relieve Malta. That's what we all believed.
What was an attempt to relieve Malta?
The exercise, Operation Torch. And the impression was being given to do this. But as time wore on, we got more and more ready for the great day. And then a tragedy occurred. The main cable, which was to give the convoys and instructions, got punctured somehow out at sea, and it went, as we would call it, went flat, went down to earth, and had to be repaired. Now, that was my job. I was responsible for this cable.
So how do you repair a cable like that, a big cable like that?
I'll tell you. But by luck or design, there was a cable repair ship in the harbour in Gibraltar, a ship called the Marie-Louise, Canadian, Merchant Navy. And I managed to locate the location of this fault was in the Straits of Gibraltar on the Mediterranean side. So I went back and reported this to CSO, and he said to me, are you sure, Foreman? And I said, yes, sir, I'm sure. I mean, I checked it twice. I was myself dead certain that my location was right. And the CSO said, because to repair this fault, we've got to turn out the cable ship, plus two destroyers to guard the Straits of Gibraltar, plus an aircraft to guard the work. So are you sure? And I said, yes, I'm sure. So that night the cable ship got put out and the destroyers were out. At the crack of dawn, I was out as well, watching the cable ship. And I'd only been in about half an hour when they put a lamp signal up, and it said spot on, it said. I nearly took off in delight. This was from the captain of the cable repair ship. It said that my calculation was spot on. So they got the cable repaired, and a couple of days afterwards, the liaison officer for Operation Torch called me in, and he said, tonight we're going to sit on Europa Point and watch the show, he said. So Europa Point's just inside the Med. And so we went out and sat down on the rock and watched the sea. On the opposite side of the straits is the Spanish town of Ceuta, C-E-U-T-A. Which is lit up, of course, because they were neutral. And so eventually, we could see silhouetted against this backdrop of lights, a ship coming in. So we sat there and we watched a fleet of ships come in, silhouetted against the lights. Quite exciting. And then I realised that what they were doing was invading North Africa, and it wasn't a relief of the of Malta. So that next day I was called for by the chief signal officer and told to pack my kit and move to Algiers. They said I'd be away 6 months. So I packed my kit for 6 months and went to Algiers.
So when would that be?
Oh, size torch.
It's just straight after the
exercise torch convoy was on the 7th and 8th. That convoy went through the straits. So this should be about the 10th, 2 days afterwards.
Of which month, sorry?
Of November.
Of course it is, sorry.
November.
Yeah.
So I was given a briefing in Algiers that I should go to Malta and build another war room in Malta in readiness for the attack on Sicily.
Now, hang on. So you went to North Africa?
I went to North Africa, to Algiers.
And you just got briefed there?
I got briefed there, And I've been a lieutenant acting captain as well.
Now, you not told about that. When did that happen?
That would happen on the 10th, I suppose. I just got there. I was briefed, and that was I was given this promotion to acting captain to give me a bit of clout, you see. Because I was going to join the existing Malta Command Signal Company, you see, who might have been a bit upset by having somebody put on their plate.
So you were going to the Malta Signal Command, was it?
Or no, I was to be attached to Malta Command Signals, yes. Not off them, but with them. Which I was taken by Dakota aircraft from Algiers by way of Constantine to the airfield at Castel Bonito, which had just been captured. And from Castel Bonito, I was taken in the Royal Navy aircraft, a Lockheed Hudson, as I remember, and taken to Malta and put ashore in Malta at Takali Airfield.
And now, this is just a temporary commission, was it? Or was it a permanent?
I held on to it anyway. I held on to the commission. Hang on, where are we?
So what happened when you got to the airfield?
I got put off the Lockheed Hudson and put into a revetment along with the stores that were in the aeroplane. I had a lot of stuff for Malta, as well as one passenger like me. And I was there all by myself, no one in sight. And there was an air raid on at the time, by the way, but I didn't see any aircraft. And eventually, someone turned up in a utility van whom I'd known years ago in Aldershot. He was the inspector of permanent communications for Malta, and he was in charge of the anti-aircraft defences communications, a fellow named Drake.
So what happened? How do you set? You were going to set up a war room, weren't you?
Yeah, the war room was done by another group entirely, doing hand painted maps and all this sort of stuff. You know, my job was to put in the telephones and the telephone cables for this lot.
For the war room.
For the war room.
Now, what did that entail? Was it a big job?
Quite a big job. Yes, I said it involved drilling holes from the surface of the rock down into the caves underneath. Hang on, where are we now?
Any problems you encountered doing that?
Oh yes. Main problem with these heavy armoured cables is that their weight is very heavy.
What do you remember about your time at Malta?
Well, when I got to Malta, of course, the Operation Torch, of course, had by that time occupied French North Africa, and that sort of removed the tension from Malta. And they were having a party, actually, in Malta to celebrate the raising of the siege. And I stayed on in Malta. I was actually a ring of cable round the island so that they could connect it up to voice frequency teleprinters, which were being charged of the invasion fleets coming in later on. Invasion fleets, airborne and seaborne, to attack Sicily.
So you installed the cable for those teleprinters.
I installed this ring of cable for the teleprinters, yes. But there was a tragedy there. The cable at my request, had been sent in from Alexandria in a ship which was anchored in the Grand Harbour in Malta, and it caught fire. It was half loaded with tins of petrol, actually, and it caught fire, and all the cable was lost. That's about 15 miles of cable lost, and there's nothing left to leave for connecting up these teleprinters. And I went to see the chief signal officer in Malta, who incidentally I knew very well, because when I was in Edinburgh he was Sergeant Major, but now he was a colonel. His name was Bloodworth, I remember, George Bloodworth. And I remember George Bloodworth saying to me, "You can have all the cable I have," he said. "You have my whole war reserve of cable," he said, "because if this exercise, which was called Exercise Husky, doesn't come off," he said, "we won't need it anyway." It was a very true saying. So anyway, I got his cable, and by this time I had a working group of pioneers, all Basutos from Africa. I managed to lay a 15-mile ring of this war reserve cable from the chief signal officer, which served all our needs for the attack on Sicily.
Anything else you remember about your time at Malta?
I beg your pardon?
Anything else you remember about your time at Malta? Was it attacked? Were there air raids while you were there?
There was plenty of air raids. There were air raids every day.
What were the air raids like?
People just went underground. There were never any devastating air raids, just an occasional bomber was enough, you know.
And what was it like in the shelters? What was it like in the shelters?
There was plenty of food in the shelters. Me and Russians had all tin stuff. We consumed what they used to call the turnover. Uses voice frequency teleprinters to communicate with the invasion fleets.
Now, did you understand the technology of all that at the time?
Oh, yes. I was a foreman of signals. I was supposed to do everything. Yeah.
So how did these teleprinters work? Can you just explain it for people? I don't know whether it...
They were American, first of all. The usual teleprinter sends a direct current to line, but the American ones sent a note, a buzzing note, which carried better over bad lines. And of course, it has to be re-translated into the messages on the receiver end.
And they worked well?
Well, they worked very well. What didn't work so well was the state of the invasion fleet, actually. I was given a commitment after the landings in Sicily to go to the southern end of Sicily to a place called Portsnallo.
Called what? Port?
We were just after the invasion of Sicily.
What was the name of the place?
The place I was to find was on the south-eastern tip of Sicily.
And what was it called?
Portsnallo. Pozzallo. I was to get down there and check the sea cable that ran from Portsnallo to Tripoli, across the Mediterranean.
Now, when had that been laid?
Oh, laid by the Italians. Many years before, no doubt. When Mussolini took North Africa.
And what state, how did you check it? What state was it in?
Well, I had an instrument called the Bridge Maker, which applies 500 volts
called the what?
A bridge maker, or just a maker, which supplied 500 volts to cable, and that checked the insulation. And where was I with that?